So, first of all, we're going to find out who Jude is right here in the very first verse. So, we'll only be in chapter 1 today. Don't worry. It's because there is only one chapter, by the way. But we're going to be in the book of Jude, and Jude introduces himself here at the beginning of the letter. I like how they signed their letters at the beginning. I know I say that every time I open a new letter in the Bible, but I'm going to keep saying it because I like it. If I get a 4-page letter or a 15-page letter or a 19-page letter from somebody, before I even start to open it and read it, I go to the back because I want to see who it's from. And it matters to me who it's from because it matters so much in how we're going to take it. So let's look at this letter from inspired by the Holy Spirit through Jude. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. So, let's break that down just a little bit. This seems like it's put in code or something. All right, first of all, what's a bondservant? Can anybody answer that for me? It's the same thing as a slave, guys. The best representation of that word, doulos, is literally slave. He's saying he's a slave of Jesus Christ. And then he's saying he's a brother of James, and this would be the James who was like the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Does anybody know who James is to Jesus Christ? A half-brother of Jesus. So let's do the whole family tree here. If James is a half-brother of Jesus and Jude is the brother of James, what does that make Jude? A half-brother of Jesus. But whenever he introduces himself, he's not saying, hey, guys, you need to listen to me because my brother was Jesus. No, he's saying, guys, I'm just like you. We all come to the cross in the same way. Even his half-brother had to come to a place where he was surrendering his will to the will of Christ. He had to come to the place that he realized he owed Jesus a debt he couldn't pay. And so the only answer was to receive the free gift and then give the life to serve. So Jude, we find that Jesus' half-brothers didn't really believe in him until after the resurrection. He came late in the game. He didn't even get to be part of the disciples that followed Jesus all around. In fact, he would have been one of them who came to try to rescue Jesus at one point from his own foolishness, as they thought. Because they thought, Jesus, can't you see? You're making everybody mad. And they're going to try to kill you. So they tried to rescue him from himself. This is the same family member here that now is completely sold out to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where you come from. What matters is where you're going. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, he has rescued you from your sins. He has freed you from the kingdom of darkness, and you are heading into the kingdom of light, and you have everything you need to serve Christ with all your heart. Let's just do it. Let's make it our number one aim and goal. Let's be like this dear brother that we're going to meet someday in heaven. If you're saved, you're going to get to meet him. Let's keep our eye on the prize. Guys, it don't make us more important, the fact that we know Jesus. It ain't because we're better. It's just because we've agreed to be a slave. That's it. And he goes on, okay, so that's who wrote the letter. That's who Jude is. He's half-brother to Jesus. He's considering himself a bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he writes who it's to. It's to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Who's the letter to? It's to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Guys, the same grace that saves you is the same grace that preserves you. It's the same grace that's going to get you all the way through to the end. And it's the grace that comes through Jesus and him alone. And if you look, the church of God is literally the church of God by God's grace. We are the called. Guys, you couldn't come to the Lord unless you were called. And there is that general calling that, that God says that, that he desires that none be lost, but all come to the knowledge of the truth. But guys, there's going to come a time whenever it becomes a personal calling. You know, I heard people talk about church. I heard people talk about Jesus. But there came a point in my life when it became personal. I had a decision to make at that point. And praise God that by God's grace, he led me by the hand to decide to follow him. This isn't a game we play. This isn't an act that we're in. Guys, if you're called, then you're called to be sanctified. You see that next word, sanctified? What does that mean? Set apart. It means taken out of the world and set apart to be holy with God. So at one time, you were in the world doing what the world does, acting like the world. But as soon as you receive the call, it's time to step away from that and into the kingdom with Christ. So some of us feel like, well, you know, I'm saved, but I'm saved so I can do everything the way I want to do it. It's still all about me, and then someday I'm going to be in heaven with Christ. It isn't what this is saying. It's saying you're called to be sanctified, to be set apart right now in this day and age. And I'll tell you, as you walk with Jesus now, you're going to find a joy with Jesus and some peace and some other things he's going to talk about here in just a second. But you got to agree to go with him. And then, in all of that, you find out you're actually preserved by that same grace that saves you, calls you, sanctifies you, and now preserves you. Who is it that did all that? Jesus. It's all done by God. Did you notice that? So the thing about this is he did everything that's necessary. So we've got to understand something. We're not just free agents in this thing to do what we want, when we want, how we want, and tell God no when we feel like it. When God calls us, he has bought us, he has paid for us, he has shown us that it's about him. Now it's time for us to say the appropriate thing that any good slave should say. Do slaves usually just say no to their masters? No. Neither should we say no to Christ. So what's God calling us to? Well, verse 2 is going to show us some really awesome things he wants to give us in this calling. So let's see. What does Jude call as a blessing over them? This letter is about, first of all, extending this blessing to the church. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. How many of you guys want mercy? I got pulled over in Tulsa, Oklahoma, because I made a left turn out of a straight lane on a highway where it was like there wasn't anybody at the intersection by the time I did it. But the light turned, and I knew I needed to go left, but I was in the straight lane. So I kind of slid over, and I went ahead and went on out. No harm to anybody. Went on down the road about a mile and a half, 2 miles down the road. I noticed I had red lights behind me. You know, I was actually trying to hurry up and get to Dallas to be with my grandma as she was passing away. I wasn't just doing it as a pleasure trip. I was really trying hard to get there. And whenever I saw this police officer, I'm thinking, man, I wish he'd just leave me alone. I'm really busy. I don't want to stop. This is bad. But yeah, I know I made that turn out of the straight lane. I didn't know it was that big a deal, but hey, whatever. So I pull over. He comes up to the vehicle, and he says, what are you doing here? You notice I have Missouri plates. What's your business passing through? I said, well, I'm trying to get to where my grandma's passing away in Dallas right now. And he said, why did you make that lane change out of the wrong lane and to make that left turn? And I said, well, because I realized I didn't want to go straight, and there wasn't anybody around, so I just went ahead and did it. And I said, I'm sorry. I realize now it must be a bigger deal than what I thought. He took my license back to the car. He spent way too much time back there checking me out. He came back up, didn't say a word. He just handed me this big, fat ticket. Well, I went to pull away. I wasn't feeling real good about it. I started to drive down the road. I got a phone call as soon as I pulled out on the road. My grandma passed. So I went down the road just a little ways and found a little gas station. I had all this churning inside of me, and I was like, ugh. I went in the bathroom. I closed the door. Thankfully, it wasn't a group bathroom. It was just one that you could lock, and it was just me in there. I went over to the mirror, and I was mad, I was hurt, I was upset. I was all kinds of emotions going on at that moment, and I was thinking some stuff that wasn't all so good about that police officer at that moment. And I looked in the mirror, and it was like God spoke to me. He said, "How did you like that?" I said, "I didn't." And he said, "What you just experienced is the law without mercy." And in that moment, I thought, thank God that when it comes to eternity, God has shown me mercy. Because I believe with all my heart I deserve that ticket that says, you're going to hell. You have fallen short of the glory of God. But I believe that when God steps up to me, he's going to show me mercy based on what Christ has done. Jude wants you to have that mercy. Are you the called? Are you the sanctified? Are you the preserved by Jesus Christ? He prayed that you would have mercy, that you would experience mercy, that you would experience peace. Do you want peace? None of us wake up in the morning and say, man, I hope I have turmoil all day. Turmoil wears us out. Conflict in a home wears us out. Do I get an amen? I have 9 children. I know. We want peace. You get that heart right with peace with God, and you're going to end up seeing that it just flows out like a wave from there. Because whether we like to admit it or not, sometimes we're the one that's causing the lack of peace. We focus on God, and all of a sudden the peace can flow out from us too. I want to experience that peace. Do you want to experience that peace? All right, and how about love? I heard a president that was under a lot of attack one time. He got out of his, time of being president. And they came along and they said, so how are you liking this, having a little free time and that? And he said, well, yeah, it's pretty good. And he said, a lot of people said a lot of bad things about you while you were in the presidency. It's probably good for you to get a little break. And he said, well, you know what? Everybody does just need a little love sometimes. Pretty profound statement. Can all of us attest to that? Sometimes we just need to feel a little love. Where's the love, man? Well, let me tell you something. If you know you're loved by Christ, you can be anywhere in the world among anybody, and his love can be enough. You know why the world's running around bumping into each other and all this stuff? They're all wanting to feel a little bit of that peace, a little bit of that love. They're just looking in the wrong places. God wants it to be multiplied to us. That word multiplied is a good word. Right? You start doing math very, very quickly, you're going to find out multiplication is a whole lot better than addition when you're getting what you're wanting to get. Right? And so multiplied, he wants it multiplied. What's the letter about? Well, it was an extending a blessing, and it's also an exhortation. An exhortation is supposed to encourage us to do something. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, he says, what does that common salvation mean anyways? What does that mean? It means the salvation that we all share. It's common. I pray that everybody here is saved. Because if you are, then we share it. We have it in common. This letter is to the saved. Those who have it in common. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. He would have rather talked about how great it is to be saved, but instead he's having to talk to them and exhort them to contend earnestly for the faith. Why? Because, guys, the church is under attack. And by this, we can understand the church has been under attack since the first century church. We're going to continue to be under attack until Jesus comes back, okay? So get used to it, but make sure you're contending for the faith. Not only contending, but earnestly contending, which was once for all delivered to who? To the saints. We are the only ones who can contend for the faith. We can't wait for non-believers to contend for the faith because they don't have it. We have to contend for the faith. We are the ones who have it. Look at that word, contend, a little bit. It's a Greek word. Can't read the Greek portion, but I can read the transliterated portion. It's epigenizomai. Yeah, see, I even blew that. But if you look, there's a little root word in the middle of that thing. Agonize! Every time that things get uncomfortable for us, we go, well, must not be in the center of God's will. I better stop that. This is saying that sometimes fulfilling God's will is going to be like agony. You know, it's not very comfortable to stand and say to somebody who's living contrary to the Word of God, they may even be in your own family, but you may have to say, I'm sorry, but that is wrong. Will it bring you agony? Oh, man, can it ever? Especially in this cancel culture that we live in now. You can receive a lot of agony for saying, hey, the Word of God says that that action or that activity is wrong, and you really need to stop, because if you don't turn your life over to Christ, repent of your sins, you're going to end up in hell. Thus saith the Lord. Whenever we say those words, I'm going to tell you, Satan's going to bring out all the attacks from hell after you. Consider that for you to contend means it's going to be agonizing. Do it anyways, because that's where you're going to find peace with God. You see, we have got to be true to God first. Something I kept hearing every time a decision would come up at the Southern Baptist Convention, there was this one group of people that would say, brothers, the outside world's watching. Well, I'm going to tell you what I care more about than that. God's watching. God's watching all the time. He's watching me and my secret thoughts. He's watching the intentions of my heart. He's watching a lot more than just my actions. So I want to please him long before I want to please man. It's going to be agonizing sometimes, but let's do it. We are being exhorted to contend for the truth. There's a battle for the truth. And you know what? Souls are at stake. He wants us to continue on and to keep our hearts for him. Given once for all to the saints. Next thought. Only one faith given by God to be handed down to the next generation. By whom? By us. Guys, it's up to us to pass the baton on. You know that song that was talking about that burning torch that the others carried to us? We got to keep it burning and hand it off. We got to make sure we keep it burning and hand it off. You know, I'm starting to realize I am not getting any younger. I just figured that out. I looked in the mirror this morning. I was like, oh my goodness. I better make sure I pass this torch on. I can't carry it like I used to either. Man, that trip to California just wore me out. I don't know how Sam does it. He does that all the time. Sitting in them airplanes, oh my goodness. I feel like I'm going to come out of my skin hours at a time, and I was just wore out. But you know what? The world kept turning, and this gray-headed guy had to just get back up the next morning and get started again. It wasn't easy. You know, I look at those young men. Man, they can go all day long. Let's get the torch in their hands. Let's say, you go, man. You stand for Christ. You do it. But you know what I'm finding? There's so few of our young men that want to do it. You know something I can't give them? I can't give them a desire. We need to pray for that. That our young men would really have a real deep desire to carry this torch the next leg of the journey until Jesus comes back. It's only one faith, too. There's not 52 different faiths. There's not several different faiths that'll get you there. There's one faith. God handed it to us, and we're the saints. And you may say, I don't feel much like a saint sometimes. I would say I can feel that way too. But you know what? God calls us saints. And you know what a saint is? That's another word, and it has a definition. Hagios. You know what that? You know what the definition is? Sacred, holy. You are set apart by God. It makes you holy. Even if you don't act holy, you are holy, and you need to start acting more like what we are. I need to. You need to. We need to. And the group needs to look like it as we do it together. We are sacred. We are holy. You know why? Because we belong to God. We're His. And you know, ultimately, at the end of this thing, this letter is also about something else. It's about this blessing that God wants us to have. It's about the exhortation. He wants to encourage us to contend for the faith. And it's also about a warning. And this warning is that certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men. You noticed we are the ones that are godly. We're the ones that are set apart, not because we always act like it, but just because we are God's and He is holy and He has set us apart for His. We belong to Him. There's some that don't belong to Him. And you know what? They turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They're sent by the enemy. They creep in among us. They're here within the church structure. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm looking at any of you guys out there and saying that you fit this role. I thank God. This church is really kind of an unusual church, and I'm thankful for that. But what I'm telling you is we can never let our guard down. If it don't come from the Bible, then we ain't doing it. And we need to keep that guard up, and we need to make sure we check everything against the Word of God, because I'm going to tell you, Satan is always trying to get in the church. And he is going to send whoever he can get to cooperate with him into the church to try to... Yes, they're marked for condemnation. But ultimately, let's not let them devour the flock. It is our responsibility. It's my responsibility to preach the Word of God as a shepherd to this church to make sure the wolf doesn't just devour the flock. And so it's so important that we also take up that place in our homes. I'm really going to direct this to the dads. The moms and the dads working together, I know that that's important, but I'm going to tell you, our responsibility as dads are really important on this matter. You know why the fall of mankind happened in the garden? Everybody'd say, well, it was Eve's fault. She ate the fruit. And then she turned and gave it to her husband who was with her. Why didn't he leave? When he saw this serpent talking to his wife, why didn't he say, hey, God was actually talking to me with that direction? Why didn't he take up the lead? And because he didn't, he willingly followed his wife. And now we deal with sin forever until Jesus comes back, until we go to be with Him. Well, here's the thing, guys. The story's not over for us. Let's step it up. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's take the warning. Let's take the exhortation. Let's take this blessing that's been given to us so that we can fulfill it. You're going to need the blessing of God to do this, and your job's not over until you go to be with Jesus. Wives, help your husbands accomplish this. Don't work against them. Don't be cutting them down. Don't be getting mad at them every time they mess up. Build them up. That's your leader. That's your head. Say, hey, maybe we can try it a little more like this. See if maybe you can encourage him a little bit. You know, guys don't admit it much. We need a lot of encouragement. I got one amen out there. Praise the Lord. I need a lot of encouragement. Man, when my wife's down on me, it drags me down bad. I don't even feel like trying anymore. Boy, whenever my wife builds me up and says, you know, you might have made this little mistake, but I believe you can do it. Hey, she says, I've been praying for you, man. I feel like Superman again. Come on, let's do it. I'll take on the world for you. Knowing my wife's praying. You know what? God hears her prayers. I want to do what God wants me to do. I need the encouragement of others. I need the encouragement of my wife. But ultimately, the responsibility falls back on me. So let's do it, guys. He's warning the church, and the church starts in your house. Let's do it. The enemy doesn't want to see the faith handed down. He wants to consume your children. Don't let him. Let's seek the power of God. He sent these imposters to come in and deny God's lordship. Some of them get in the church, and some of them are in the schools. And some of them are speaking on TV. A lot of them are on YouTube. A whole bunch of them are on Facebook. You see, the forum's pretty big. I ain't even on Twitter, but I hear that's a really wicked place too. You do your work to help protect your children from this. Pass that faith down to the next generation. Let me pray for us. Dear Father, we all come here today seeking a word of truth, seeking encouragement, seeking some blessing. You gave it to us. Thank you, Lord, that we are not being called to something that we can't do. If we'll stay connected to you, you will give us everything we need. But we have got to be determined in our mind that there is a battle, first of all. We're not on a pleasure cruising ship. We're on a battleship. And there's a battle happening every day for the hearts and souls of not just other people out there, but even our family and our children. And God, I pray we won't lose this battle. We will stay close to you because you're the one who wins. We will let you give us the strength, and we will just offer ourselves to agonize through this process in whatever way we have to make sure we finish this well. And that we will protect this church body as well, Cadet Baptist Church here in Cadet, Missouri. And we will help to protect the church as a larger group all over this world in whatever way we can, because we are your bondservants sold out to Jesus Christ. Lord, it's not my will, but your will be done. So help us to surrender to your will today. In Jesus' name, amen.